Let's turn to Philippians chapter number 3 this morning. As we continue verse by verse through the book of Philippians, we are going to deal with chapter 3, verse 9 today. I'd like to read verse 7, 8, and 9 to you. These verses all kind of run together. Verse 9, 10, and 11 especially are the doctrinal verses in this passage, and we'll deal with verse number 9 today. Verse number 9 is justification. Verse number 10 is sanctification. Verse number 11 is glorification. And those three are very important. And if you don't know what those words mean, you got to come today and next week and the next week, and I'll tell you what those words mean. All right? You know what they mean. You just don't know the words. I'll tell you that. If you're saved, you know. All right. Verse number 7, Philippians chapter number 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word and the time that we have to spend in your word this morning. Pray your blessings upon this time. Lord, we're so thankful that we're able to have the word of God in its entirety in our hands this morning and to use it as we study together. Lord, I pray your blessings upon these who are attending today. Lord, open their hearts and their ears so they may hear your word and that it may affect their lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So verse 9 is our text today, and our topic is not our good. That's what I want to talk to you about today. Not our good. Verse 9 says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And Paul writes here that he wishes to stand before God, not in his own good achieved through keeping the law, but rather in righteousness given through faith in Christ and by God in faith. And that's what we want to talk about here today. James Montgomery Boyce writes about this verse here, Philippians 3, 9, and he calls it a summary of the book of Romans. Now, I agree and disagree with him there. I disagree in that Romans is hard to summarize in just one verse. Romans is just thick and rich, and I love the book of Romans. But I do give credit to what he says there, because it is a very true thought and a very profound statement. Romans, as well as Philippians 3:9, deal with justification. More specifically, they deal with justification by faith. And that is the premise of who we are as the church here this morning, is justification by faith. Now, simply put, justification means we are made just as if we had never sinned. You see, in our righteousness, we can only make amends for our faults. You ever found yourself there? Do something wrong, and you just make amends for it the best that you can. And even in religion, the humanistic approach is simply that, to make amends for our faults. And we can even do that within our own religion, and some confession of sin is important. 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible. But when that becomes our hope, the ability that we have to constantly confess our sins, then that's a works religion. When baptism becomes our hope, then it is a works religion. When church membership becomes our hope, then it is a works religion. Justification does not come by works or keeping the law. If your justification comes by works or keeping the law, then as Paul's saying here, you are doing it in your own righteousness or in your own good. Talking to you today about not our good. Paul says, I don't want to be found in my own righteousness, rather in God's righteousness. In our own righteousness, we can only make amends for our faults. But in God's righteousness, we are made new as if our sins never happened. That's a much better position to be in. I'd rather be in a place, found in a place where in God's sight, he says, what sins? Your sins never happened. All I see is the blood of Jesus Christ. Than to be standing there with my sins, realizing my unrighteousness, my unholiness, my unworthiness to be there in that place before God. Therefore, it is not our good that saves us. It is the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. So as we think about this today, let's begin with Paul's first thought there in verse number 9, be found in him. Hebrews 9:27 tells us very plainly that it is appointed unto man, all of us, once to die, and after this, a judgment. After the, according to Hebrews 9:27, There is a day coming that we will all stand and give an account for ourselves before God. So you can imagine yourself, and I don't know what this is going to be like, but I'm just going to paint a picture here for you this morning, standing before Almighty God, righteous and holy as He is. And there you are with the option. You can stand before Him and be judged on your own merit, or there is Christ. And you can be found in Him and be judged by His merit. Paul's premise here is that on that day of judgment, at the end of his life, he wants to be found in Christ rather than stand before God in his own merit. You can get a speeding ticket and decide you're going to fight it instead of just pay it and go down and stand before the judge. And most likely he's going to say, you were speeding. The officer said you were speeding. 37 people on the interstate that you were even in and out of said you were speeding. You were speeding. But in that situation, if you were given the option to stand there with the judge's son, whom he loved and would do anything for, and the judge be able to say, well, since you know my son, what would you choose? Obviously, you would choose to stand there with the judge's son and not have to pay $62.50 to the metro court. Right? Yeah. I have evidently have had to pay this. Is that still the going rate? I didn't fight it. I just paid it and went on with it. Now, we're not going to be given that option in eternity. After you die, the option is over. If you die without Christ, you will enter eternity without Christ. But we are given that option now. And we come to this place of not our righteousness, but God's through justification. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So justification means made right before God. Before we can be found in Christ, we must be right with God. If you've never heard that word justification at this first time for you this morning, you've most likely heard the saying, are you right with God? Right? We all have heard that. You grew up in a church in the South. You have heard a preacher talk about being right with God, especially at revival time. Well, that's the idea here this morning, being made right with God. Before we can be found in Christ, we must be right with God. Now, many feel they're just as right as everyone else. And maybe you are. I don't know. But that's not the issue here. The issue is, are you right with God? You may be just as right as me. You may be just as right as everybody else in this place and still not be right with God. Where are you going to find yourself then when you enter eternity? Charles Spurgeon, in a wonderful sermon on justification by faith from 1867, gives us this example, and I'm going to read you his exact words. He says, you shall step into a shop this evening and find a man at the counter, and you say to him, well, do you never go to a place of worship? No, he would say, but I'm quite as good as those who do. I think I know that man. Do y'all know that man? How so? Well, I'm a great deal better than some of them. How is that? Well, I never failed in business. I never duped people in a limited liability company. I never told lies. I am no thief. I am not a drunkard. I am as honest as the days are long in the middle of June. And that is more than you can say of some of your religious people. Sounds like a good man. And in fact, if I were going into business, that's the kind of man I want to go into business with. But I'll tell you, I don't want to go into eternity next to that man. Why not? What is the problem? Because he's not right with God. You can be right with every person upon the face of the earth and still not be right with God and spend your time in eternity eternally separated from God. The problem is, before God, it is not in my righteousness that works. And that's our next thought here today. As Paul says, I want to be found in Christ. And then he continues that thought with, not in my own righteousness. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness. Now, there are two types of righteousness. There's a righteousness of man and the righteousness of God. God cannot be satisfied with man's righteousness. No matter how good that we may be, we are still cursed. We still have a sinful nature. We're still apt to fall off the wagon or to find ourselves slipping at times. Wiersbe says we need the proper method for measuring. See, if I measure myself against myself, I most always seem righteous. Because I can look at me and say, well, I'm better than them. I'm not doing that. I don't go there. I don't talk like that. If you measure yourself against yourself, that's your ruler in life, or if that's the mirror you hold yourself to, you will always most likely seem righteous. Even if you measure yourself by just, say, the Ten Commandments, most of us will do okay most of the time. Enough that we can feel like, oh, well, I'm all right. At best, measuring ourselves against ourselves or ourselves against something like the Ten Commandments or the local law, at best, we'll only notice our outward unrighteousness, all the while avoiding our inward flaws. We must give up self to receive God's righteousness. Paul gave up his religion. We read last week, as he said, I was of the stock of Israel, in verse number 5, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, he said, I was blameless. But he said, I counted all that as loss that I might win Christ. He said it was all just street waste. It was no good. We must give up self to receive God's righteousness. Many today don't really have to give up their religion as Paul did, but they do need to give up their humanistic approach to life. You see, in secular humanism, it's all about me. If I can just be good enough and do good enough and feel good enough and all of these things. No, you need to realize you cannot do this by yourself. You cannot earn God's favor. You cannot will yourself into a place in Christ. Not having your own righteousness, which is of the law, Paul says, but that which comes through faith. And that's our third thought today. Third thought today, as we say, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So through faith. While God cannot be satisfied with your righteousness or my righteousness, He is very satisfied with His own righteousness. And He offers this freely to all who believe in Jesus. Thus we receive the righteousness of God in place of our own righteousness through faith in Christ. Let me talk to you a minute about God's righteousness. It's a unique thing to think about. In fact, if we were to go around the room this morning and say, define God's righteousness, we all know what it means, but it's hard to put into words. You see, our sinful nature causes us to be unaware, really, of the truth of God's righteousness because we are so unrighteous. Even in Christ and in His righteousness, we still, in this carnal flesh, have a hard time comprehending the immenseness. That didn't come out, did it? I can't even get the words out to describe God's righteousness. How's that? We're too sinfully inclined to fully understand God's perfection. But we can come to know it through Christ. Through the law of God, we see an expression of God's righteousness. Just as through a coin you may hold in your hand, you see the expression of the mint that formed that coin. Through the law of God, we see the expression of God's righteousness. His purity, His holiness, His love, His integrity, His perfection. Through the sinless Son of God, we see God's righteousness. There truly are two kinds of righteousness, God's and human righteousness. Humans cannot attain God's righteousness simply by adding it to their own. That's what we like to do. You may say, well, this is the car I drive, and I want it to be like that car, so I'm going to do some things to this car to soup it up to make it like that car. You can't do that with your eternal state. You can't do that with your righteousness. We say, well, I'm pretty good, except for in this area, so I'm going to go to church, I'm going to read the Bible, I'm going to pray, I'm going to take on religion to kind of get God's righteousness in those areas of my life. It doesn't work that way. We can't attain God's righteousness simply by adding His to our own. What's the problem with our own righteousness? It's nothing. What did Paul call it? Dung, street waste. In the prophets, it's called filthy rags. Our best, the best that you and I can attain to, is filth before Almighty God. In fact, at our place of feeling like we've done our best, God said, I just want to spew you out of my mouth. You're nasty. I know that's insulting. I mean for it to be. The Bible means for it to be. We need to be insulted in our place to help us to understand where we are and what we need. We no doubt have all had that experience in life as we entered into puberty and that time of life as we were moving from just being a little kid over into being a person, you know, an adult with smells, right? And you all, maybe you didn't. Maybe you were a smart kid, but I was not. And I remember it happened twice for me. I didn't get it the first time. I was in school one day, and we were playing our friends, and a girl said to me, "Your breath stinks." You know, and I kind of brushed my teeth, or if I could get away with it, I didn't. You know, I was like Opie Taylor. If I didn't have to take a bath, I wasn't going to take a bath. And I finally realized I was to that time of life where I really had to brush my teeth or my breath was going to stink. Are we working on that over here? Going into middle school this year, Pat. And then there was the day where the teacher set us all down, all us boys, and gave us all our own little personal size stick of deodorant and said, "Now, boys, you put this under your arms." You know, I had a friend who he smelled, and we kind of were talking to him about it, and we said, "Man, don't you wear it?" We thought he wore deodorant. We would see him putting on deodorant. And he'd say, "Yeah, but all that hair is in the way." He said, "So I put it around that." And I was like, "No, man, you got to put it over that." Those are the things that we deal with in life as we come along. And it usually takes someone insulting us, not meaning to, trying to help us. But you know, in some things, wouldn't you rather be a little offended and get it right than nobody to tell you, and then you find out on your own and you think, "Why didn't anybody tell me?" See, I hope to offend you this morning. Your righteousness smells. Your righteousness is embarrassing. In eternity, you enter eternity in your own righteousness. You're going to be sadly disappointed, but you'll not go on my account, as I'm telling you this morning. And now it's up to you. You are responsible. We must allow God to empty us of self and fill us with Himself. Let me conclude like this. Trying to enter eternity in your own good is like trying to go to town with the Monopoly money. Now, down at my house, I'm a tycoon with that colorful money. You know, when you start out with so much and you have this many 500s and 100s, and it's more money than I've ever held in my hand at one time, you know, and it's fake, but it's fun nonetheless. But down at my house, that's all good. And we can brag, and I can tell the boys, you know, "I got more money than you," or they can tell me that. But now I try to go down to the mall with this Monopoly money, and they're going to ask me to leave the mall unless I can show proper currency, right? Even if I go down to the mall with faith and believing in my heart that I've got all this Monopoly money that I won tonight and they're going to let me buy something with it. Even if I believe that. In fact, if I were to go believing that, not just playing, they wouldn't just ask me to leave the mall, they'd ask me to go see this doctor. Amen? What's the difference in us knowing what the Word of God says, but saying, "I'm going to do it my own way," or "I don't know if that's just right," or "I'm going to do it some other way"? The Bible plainly says, not in our own righteousness, but that which is in Christ through faith. You're trying to get into heaven with Monopoly money, and you're going to get up there someday, and they're going to say, "No way, it's their own currency." We may live a good life here on earth and be considered a good citizen who's doing all right, but that currency is no good in heaven. It is not our good, but Christ that saves. Ephesians 2:8-9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." To quote Spurgeon again this morning, he said, "The way of reaching this state of justification is not by tears, nor prayers, nor humblings, nor working, nor Bible reading, nor church going, nor chapel going, nor sacraments, nor priestly absolution, but by faith. Which faith is a simple and utter dependence and believing in the faithfulness of God, a dependence upon the promise of God, because it is God's promise and is worthy of dependence. It is a reliance with all our might upon what God has said. This is faith. And every man who possesses this faith is perfectly justified." So the question here today is, are you right with God? Are you justified by faith? It is not our good. We are sinners and we will remain so until we are glorified. But where is your faith in the meantime? Is it in self-righteousness or is it in God's righteousness? Let's stand with that thought. Heads bowed. No one looking around. We'll have a time of an invitation, time of prayer. Miss Wiggins is going to play us a verse of a song. I welcome you to come this morning and pray. Pray there in your seats. If you're here today and you say, "I'm justified by faith and I'm glad of it," praise the Lord for that this morning. Take this time of prayer and praise Him for that through prayer. But if you're here today and you're not justified by faith, At best, you may feel justified in your own self-worth, your own righteousness, just doing the best you can. I tell you this morning, there's a better way. Bring your Monopoly money up here and get some real currency. Get something that's going to last in eternity.